thinking of a master plan. There ain't nothing but sweat inside my hand. So I dig into my pocket, all my money is spent. So I dig deeper, but still coming up with vent.
I'm trying to remember the lyrics myself,
man. Start my mission, leave my residence, thinking how could I get some dead presidents? I need money. Used to be a stick-up kid, so I think of all the devious things I did. I used to roll up. This is a hold-up. Ain't nothing funny, stop smiling. Nothing gonna move but the money. But now I learn to earn, cause I'm righteous. I feel great, so maybe I might just search for a 9-to-5. If I strive, then maybe I'll stay alive. So I walk up the street, whistling this, feeling out of place, cause man, do I miss a pen and a paper, and a stereo, a taper. Me and Eric B in a nice big plate of fish, which is my favorite dish. But without my money, it's still a wish. So I don't like to dream about getting paid. So I dig into the books of the rhymes that I've made. Soon as I test, see if I got pull, hit the studio, because I'm paid in full. Remember that one? Right?
Nobody's brought that one up. Nobody's brought, you got to be our age, man.
Nobody's as old as me. Nobody walked to school in grade 8, listened to Eric B. That's why.
That was when, like, when Tracks came out and you just like, man, my life just changed.
Just changed.
Orange my life phones, just changed.
Remember? Orange earphones.
You were like listening to it like it was gospel, man. You're yeah, just man. Like going, these are words, man.
Absolutely. That song's motivated my whole life. Isn't that crazy?
That's fine. I love that. That's Thank crazy. You so much. That's for bringing
yeah,
that one up.
Yeah, man.
Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you very much.
I want to thank Joe for connecting us because Absolutely. It was a blast to have him here and, yeah. and now we've connected. I love this whole Kevin Bacon thing going on. And we were trying to connect forever through text messages, all kinds. And, yeah. and you're a busy individual, man. You got a lot going on, but yeah. I'm glad that you made it and you came here and you drove down here. And obviously there was a little bit of traffic closer to us.
Yeah.
And it was pretty decent where you were leaving from.
Yeah, no big deal.
But thank you. I really appreciate that, man.
I appreciate the invite.
All right, so we're going to, I don't even know what to, I know we're going to talk about water.
Water, this is a big part of my career.
Just anything to do with water. We're just going to discuss it and I guess the mechanics of it, plumbing product, electrical, all kinds of stuff. And, yeah. and some things that you're doing that I guess it's an uphill battle sometimes.
Well, for sure, being an independent. Yeah, imagine all the plumbing wholesalers that have multiple chains and websites and apps. And then you got this little tiny shop.
They don't like you, do they? Like
well,
you?
No, but they don't like me, but they respect me.
Yes, because you're not doing bad. You're doing only good.
I'm doing good.
They probably are envious, wondering, we want to be more like that, but we can't be like that because we've got a board to answer to and we got That's corporate, right. we got suits to talk to.
Yeah, so in the old days, they used to say, Aurora Electric can't compete with us. Look at how big we are.
Yeah.
Well, I say, you can't compete with me. It's impossible. You can't shift as quickly as I can, nor can you say to someone, hey, I'm really sorry for messing that up here. Just take it for free. Just take it, sell it, make your money. I'm real sorry. Okay, you can't do that. So it's not them that I can't compete with. It's them that can't compete with me.
It's their mindset.
That's right.
They unfortunately have gone a certain way that I don't think the construction industry deserves to go that way.
No, they don't approve of it.
And it's just fine. It reminds me of I was sent a message last night by someone who listens, Dan Wall, and he was telling me about how the new code issues that are coming in. I call them issues because they're completely crap.
Yeah.
They're bringing in a lot of green incentive crap that's politically agenda motivated.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with being better in construction or creating better situations in construction.
Yeah.
Has everything to do with the theater that is political environment.
Correct.
And I can't stand it. So I want to argue it. I want to bring certain people on the show about discussing it because yeah. I'll shut it down. I'll just clearly say, listen, this is ridiculous. This is not making a home, a place of business, or just the industry and better. No. This is feeding your ego on a political stage.
That's right.
Which That's is right. not has nothing to do with construction.
No.
Nothing nor should you be anywhere near us.
And nor does it help your population.
No.
So we get to see that we get people who come in and want the Greener Homes grant and they want the heat pumps. And I have a heat pump myself. I'm not at all inverted to any kind of technology, but it's the motivation to get the technology.
Yeah.
And then I get the person, the old lady, the old man, the young family with a little baby that has horrible water, dreadful water. And I test the water and I say, well, it's going to be like, by the time the tradesperson is done, you're going to be $35,000. Wow. And they don't have it. Well, then what are you telling that person? You're telling them that they can't have water, but your neighbor can get a $5,000 heat pump system and they didn't even need it. They just got it because it was offered. Well, why can't that money go to help those people? Or you get old people who've had that water for generations, don't even realize. That's why your teeth are falling out. That's why your skin is orange and your kidneys don't work right. But there's nothing for them. So when they come in the shop sometimes, it's honestly, brother, it's heartbreaking.
And you just are trying to help. We want to help them. The thing is, you're already solving the problems, but then you're getting gatekeeping stopping you from solving more problems.
Yeah. Money becomes the gatekeeper.
So that's why we're talking about water, but we're going to talk a lot about what is wrong with water and what we can do with water. So Les Purcell is here from Aurora Electric and also Ontario Pump Supply.
Correct.
You got a number of businesses, but you find one, you'll find them all. His number is 705-746-5232. His email is info@auroraelectric.com. And the website is also the same, isn't it?
Aurora Electric.com. Correct.
Quick shout out to John McNeil and the boys up in Barrie there. I'm wearing his tee today. I've always liked this one because of the color. And that's it. So I want to start off by doing a quick shout out to Megan. She's been on the show a couple of times. She's a young plumber and she's big on how bad the water is.
Yeah.
And she's been doing a lot of homework. And I actually mentioned to her about this, that you were coming in and possibly trying to get her in on the show as well too, or being a part of it, but she's on vacation right now. She's actually in the East Coast, but then she's headed to LA as well. So she's taking a break from plumbing industry, as everybody should be doing.
Yeah, of course.
But she's definitely I'm going to connect you with her because she's passionate about water as well too.
That's good.
And it's great to see that from the younger plumbers out
there.
I know we talked on the phone and I'm just trying to figure out, where do you want to begin here? Because I know that there's a problem with our water. And the unfortunate thing is that we have such a nice country, land-wise, I'm saying, picturesque, beautiful.
Yeah.
We have fresh lakes, but yet we contaminate it. And we cause more problems than we're actually solving.
That's right.
How did we get to this point?
We haven't got to the point yet where we understand, as Canadians and people who live in Ontario, that just because we live in one of the most densely populated places of fresh water, we should waste it.
Yeah.
So I'll do a job for, let's say, a resort or a camp. And the job, they'll come in and say, well, your quote is 35% more than anybody else's quote. And I'll say, well, yeah, half of the quote is controlling the water. So I'm not just talking about treating the water. We have to slow your water usage down. Well, there's no reason to, because we take the water from the lakes. We have a completely endless water supply. And I said, well, that's illogical because you don't have an endless amount of effluent that you can absorb in the earth.
Yeah.
So you have to pay attention to what you're pulling out because you're trying to put it back in somewhere else. And they don't get it. So I had a job where I did 72 shower heads. And the customer couldn't figure out what this giant invoice was. That's shower heads. Why would I want 72 shower heads? I said, you have 6.4 gallon a minute shower heads times 72. You can't pump enough water.
6.4?
Yeah, so then when you tell the maintenance guy says, oh, I know what you're going to say. I already pulled the restrictor out the back of that. And I said, no, it's the exact opposite.
Yeah, you shouldn't be taking that
out. Put a ball valve and slow them down, but you're trying to filter all that water.
Yeah.
Well, that ideology is what got me to how much sodium are these people using? Well, you're using a phenomenal amount of salt because you're not conscious of how much water you're wasting. If you grew up in, I grew up in Southern California, everybody's conscious of how much water you waste. You go to Australia, they're conscious of what they waste. You come to Muskoka, Parry Sound, Ontario. Why do we care? We can leave the tap running when we brush our teeth. Well, we're not conscious that even though you have an abundance of water, you still have to treat it and the earth still has to accept it. So you can't just arbitrarily leave the tap on, leave the shower on, put a different shower head that makes a great big giant waterfall because you like it, and then not expect there to be some consequence for that action.
How do we change that mindset, Les?
You got to do it one purchase
order at a time. One person at a time. That's
it. You do it one purchase order at a time. And once they understand it, once they pay for the purchase order and they go, well, holy smokes, look at my septic bed. It's dry. Well, yeah, that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Well, we've been here 44 years. We didn't realize that this is connected. Well, yeah, it's... The whole thing is connected. How much water you're using versus how much you're treating versus how much salt, your filters, your backwash. The lake is getting an absolute shit kicking because you don't realize that the brine is just washing through your septic if it's going in there at all. Mm. And it's ending up back in that lake where it never disappears. And they don't get it. but they're starting to get it now. I can see trends in the marketplace.
Are the government, I mean, are they knocking on your door? Are they having conversations with you? Are they picking your brain? Like,
yes.
Okay. In a positive way?
Yes. I don't think the people who are totally in control of what's going on genuinely understand how a small water plant operates.
Oh, I totally agree with you on
that. They don't know, and they don't realize it until you explain it to them. And once you explain it to them, you can see the recognition.
But you've got council people that are in your area.
Yes.
Are they not living in your area?
Yeah, for sure.
Are they not part of that community?
Yeah, for sure.
So are they not, are they just oblivious? They're just ignoring it, like you said.
It's one of those problems, man, that the people don't recognize. So the health department, they see it, they understand it. But let's say you had mentioned Joe. Joe will do a job and he'll say to me, what do I do with the backwash? And I'll say, what's the code book say? Well, there's nothing in there. Well, there has to be something, Joe. The job that we're prescribing these people results in some kind of toxic waste. There has to be something, yeah. But there's nothing.
There's nothing in the code.
Zero. So it's got this little bit of a I don't want to see it issue. So if you were to ask any municipal officer, what do you do with the hazardous byproduct from, let's say, a classic water softener? Where does it go? We don't care as long as we don't see it.
Don't look at that. Pay attention to the brand new heat recovery stack here that we have to install.
So a little interesting piece of homework for you would be to go on OntarioWellReport.com. It's a website.
Okay.
Okay. You'll see Ontario and then zoom in. And when you zoom in, you're going to see a whole bunch of dots, like a whole bunch. Almost all of Ontario is blue dots. So I have a certain person in my office and I show them this website. I said, what do you think the blue dots are? And he goes, wells? And I said, yeah, not all of them are drinking water wells.
Okay.
A lot of them are testing wells and other things.
Okay.
How many of the drinking water wells do you think need a water softener?
I was assuming
all of them.
That's what I figured.
So I said, where does all the salt go?
Where does it go?
Goes in the lakes. It goes in your septic. It goes in your garden. It goes on your driveway. It goes wherever it can go.
And it's not designed for all that.
Well, that's where you don't want to be offended by the salt. So you find a way to put it somewhere else. And that just, we just don't look at the issue. We just leave the issue. So when you go to Canadian Tire, any big box store, anyone, first thing you walk into is a great big skill.
Pallets.
You go past a water treatment professional. What's on the front lawn? What's on the deck? What's
pallets.
In the back? Pallets and pallets and pallets of salt. So when we go to sell a water softener, think about the industry selling to me. Well, we want to sell salt. So we're going to have this thing set up so that it consumes a ridiculous amount of salt. So the customer has to go and patronize the salt company and buy the salt. Great. But nobody ever pulls the plug and says, what about the frogs in the backyard? Do they like the salt? What about the fish in that creek right there?
Of course not.
Well, we know they don't.
Yeah.
But we don't want to address that issue until the boat flips over. Then we'll go, oh my God.
Did this ramp up? Like, was, I'm assuming 100 years ago, this wasn't the case,
it
right?
It wasn't an issue 100 years ago.
So when did it start to become an issue?
So I've been doing this for 12 years, and it was probably 10 years ago. I said, something is very wrong. With me quoting these jobs, and you'll see where the home is directly on a lake. That would be an environmentally sensitive job. I don't think I should treat that water the same way I should somebody, let's say, here in Oakville.
Okay.
I think they have a different system, but in fact, the system in Oakville does not deal with salt either. So it goes right through your municipal and right into the wastewater. Up north, we would get blue-green algae. And people would say, oh my goodness, we got blue-green algae, just like we do down south. But nobody ever says, why do we have blue-green algae? Why is this happening? Nobody asked the question because the question would result in an answer. And the answer would be, we're killing the lake. Because after COVID, a huge amount of people turned their three-season homes into four-season homes.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we don't like the water quality. It doesn't look like Oakville's water. We want to have that. So they buy the gear to fix it, but the gear creates this problem with the sodium. Well, where does it go? It goes in your septic. But your guy who did your septic said, don't put that in my septic. I won't warranty it.
Well, then so they discover that later on.
Yeah, well, then it goes anywhere. Anywhere they can get it is where it's going to go. So I'll have a building inspector who'll come in and say, what do you guys do with this? And I said, we wait for you to leave. Once you leave, they'll do whatever they can do with it.
Yeah.
No, but what's prescribed? And I said, nothing.
Protect your investment one drop at a time. Your home or project deserves the very best when it comes to waterproofing. Trust nothing less than the service that guarantees you peace of mind and lasting protection. Meet Antonio, the expert behind Aquastop Waterproofing. Whether you're a homeowner wanting to keep your basement dry or a contractor in search of a reliable partner, Antonio and his skilled team deliver unparalleled quality and service. From the first site assessment to the final backfill, every detail is handled with precision, ensuring your project is completed on time, on budget, and to the highest standard. Antonio's team doesn't just solve problems, they prevent them. With a proven track record of working with insurance companies, educating clients, and using the best products available, Aquastop Waterproofing offers a solution you can depend on for years to come. Experience the difference with a team committed to excellence. Antonio and Aquastop Waterproofing are your go-to professionals for all things waterproofing. Get in touch with Aquastop Waterproofing today at 647-631-4144 or visit them at www.aquastopwaterproofing.ca. For direct inquiries, email Antonio at antonio@aquastopwaterproofing.ca. Let's make sure your property stays safe and sound, rain or shine. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Well, there must be something. No, there's nothing. We just don't look at the problem. So in business, I have a choice to perpetuate that or not.
But you're seeing more and more plumbers coming at you and even homeowners.
They're asking the same thing. What?
Yeah.
What do I do?
Yeah.
How do I get away from this? And I said, well, you can't. In some cases, you can't treat water without it. But in other cases, I said, why can't we do this? Why can't we make a product that takes tannin, takes iron, takes sedimentation out, removes the turbidity, and let's say it lasts 6 years. Why can't I do that?
Yeah, why can't you?
Well, you can. You totally
can. But again, it's not a political hot button. It's not going to get me reelected.
It's not going to, well, I think it will get someone reelected once they realize
it. Well, local people, but yeah. Not provincial.
Well, yeah, I think the future of anybody is going to be the environment. Anybody who takes it seriously.
That's the question, though.
How do you get the word out to everybody? I don't know.
Their agenda regarding taking the environment serious is a different version of what we think taking the environment serious is.
Yeah.
Like, you have a country that has huge amounts of freshwater lakes. We're damaging them. Like, you've got a country that doesn't even have clean, drinkable water for indigenous people.
Correct.
On their communities in 2024.
Correct.
Why aren't we doing something about that?
Yeah. I couldn't tell you why.
I don't understand the argument on building regarding like the heat recovery stacks and all this other crap that,
yeah.
You know, a regulating valve on a hot water tank. Like, yep. I don't care about all this, yep. Crap. Like, we know that Toronto's not, doesn't have the best water either.
No, nope.
Because they keep on adding all kinds of crap in there. And I know that you mentioned when we were talking off mic about, you know, people's skin. Some people can't even bathe,
nope.
In the water that is supposed to be used for bathing.
Yep.
It affects their skin.
Yep.
So what are we addressing there?
They won't address it.
So they just get pushed into the medical system now. So you're going to get put onto pharmaceuticals? Is that the idea?
Well,
that's their solution?
I couldn't tell you. All I know is that they put that suite of chemicals in the water for fear of liability of what the water could possibly do. But nobody thinks about the ill effects of what you've put in that water and how it causes people problems. So back in the day, people drank Kool-Aid and juice and other stuff. But the thing people want to drink now is water, and lots of it. I myself drink 100 ounces of water every day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I never realized you're putting that shit in your body. You're putting a lot of that shit in your,
yeah.
Body. So I had a customer that was talking about her elbows had that, what do I call that, psoriasis.
Psoriasis.
And she's like,
So like a flakiness, yeah. Of the skin, yeah.
She goes, it honestly burns. Like, it's very uncomfortable. And I said, I can imagine. But imagine if you were to put on a sweater and this sweater burns your skin. Would you say you're allergic to your sweater? And she goes, yeah. Oh, my God, I'm allergic to my water. And I said, well, it's not the water. Do you feel like that in the lake? No. I said, well, there's something different about the water. So I would think the business plan is there for a large corporation to not wait for bureaucrats. Don't wait for a bureaucrat to say, do it this way. Do it this way. And once you get that person who says, hey, my own tap doesn't burn me anymore, okay, that's where the future belongs. Mm-hmm. So starting doing this as an independent resulted in a lot of this from my suppliers.
Of course.
My suppliers are saying, we got shelves and shelves of salt. What you're doing is not good for our business.
What's the profit margin on salt?
It isn't high. Not
for, but it's just volume. So then there's just so much
volume.
Okay.
And it's getting one more hook in the customers, or the customer comes back. Right. And while you're back, here's
it's a constant.
Here's a water filter.
Yeah.
Here's this. Here's a UV light. It's one way to keep the customer coming back, in. That's all it is. So I've branded myself as salt free. I don't stock salt. I don't sell salt. Most of my systems are built with no salt. And then the ones that we do with salt, it's such a simple procedure to cut that salt down to almost nothing. Why everyone doesn't do it, I assume because they need that
revenue.
Well, I think you'd almost say they're looking for loyalty. The people aren't loyal to you. You're the cheapest person around, so they're only coming to you because you're cheap. Well, how do you keep them coming to me? Well, you need to come to me to get salt.
Yeah, like at the start of the show, we talked about how in such a sea of big corporations that are selling construction material and products and all kinds of stuff, you are technically speaking a small fish. Absolutely. But you're not going anywhere.
No.
The business is thriving. Everything's doing really well. Plus, there's the whole educational component attached to it.
Correct.
You're probably meeting more and more plumbers that you're educating them on what's really going on.
Correct.
And so they can take that knowledge now and bring it to their clients.
Yes. Well, they've turned that into a business, which was my whole plan. So I don't have a little shop where you walk in and I got my nice clothes on and I sell you something. It's not the way it is. My shop is a working pump shop, and the tradespeople come in and I sell it to the tradespeople. Well, now the tradespeople have another tool to turn that into profitability. Yeah. And it doesn't hurt their conscience.
Yeah.
Well, then we got some guys who do the lake jobs. They like those jobs. Well, they turn that a salt-free water treatment system into paying their mortgage. Well, just like a rap song that we started out with, you took nothing and turned it into something. Okay, well, then they go, this is not only profitable. I've done, let's say, 25 systems. That's almost 1 million liters of brine that I haven't sold. Okay, well, the only way you're going to control the pollution in that lake and in those septics is if you control the pollution in that lake and in that septic. If you ignore it, you're not going to control it.
No.
Well, I've got the attention of lots of people. Lots of people are going, well, wait a minute, what is this guy doing? How does it work? Well, I can't patent it because I'm not using anything new. I didn't make anything new. I simply put something in a different order.
But that technically is a patent, isn't it?
I don't know, man.
Like it kind of reminds me of the whole back in the 60s with the Ford intermittent wiper lawsuit.
Yeah.
Where the wipers were there. The component was there. Yeah. All he did was figure out how to change the current in that component, which created the patent. And then obviously Ford stole it from him.
Yeah.
And then he had to fight it, and it took 25 years to fight it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that you rather spend 25 years working on trying to clean up this water and educating as many more people to share. Sure. Am I fair to say, Les, that when you get into the cities, how many plumbers are really conscious of this or care to educate or share? No.
Oh, I can't say I don't work in the
city. There's probably a small percentage.
But I would say if you were to go to, let's say, Guelph, Kitchener, Cambridge, Galt, Brantford, they have historically horrible water. It's not that the water is horrible. It's that the way they treat the water is horrible.
Yes.
So there's a lot of water softeners, and a lot of sodium goes through those cities.
And more people since COVID probably jumped on the whole softener world.
Oh, yeah. So do you educate the plumbers? So when they got their license, water softener sizing selection was on their license. It was there. You took it to get your seal.
Part of it.
But then when they get out of it, they just assume that Joe Blow over here is doing it. I don't have to do it. And that's where I said, I know that's in your license. I know it is. That job belongs to you. You put the plumbing in there. You got your license and your seal protected that homeowner. Their insurance is based on you. For someone to walk in there and then, I'm sure you've seen the installs. They're horrible.
Yeah.
Well, that's because he's not a plumber or she's not a plumber. Well, the plumbers.
Well, they're not educated about it.
They're not educated. And that's what the plumbers didn't have, was educated. So picture Joe. Joe's like, we don't get into it because we don't know anything about it. And I say, yeah, but what if you did? If you did know something about it, I can't make a difference because I can't do the installs, but you can.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's profitable. Yeah, and then when there's a problem, you work with your supplier, who in this case is me. Let's just settle down. Let's just fix it. No problem. No problems fixed.
Such a missed opportunity. Well,
I can't understand why all the plumbing wholesalers that are just like me don't do the same thing. I don't understand. Why are you not selling these systems to plumbers, engineering them, explaining to them, teaching them how it works, why it works, and what to do if it doesn't work? But this is how you make money. So now you've done the well, the septic, the interior plumbing, and a water system. Well, that's an additional 30% of points on your final invoice that you gave to someone else who wasn't licensed.
Probably did a bad job.
And the whole thing looks...
The cycle continues.
It just keeps going on and
on. Do you like stand on areas of the lake and look at what it is like today and wonder if we don't do anything about this now, what is going to look like tomorrow?
Oh, I've seen that multiple times. I mentioned I run a charter. So sometimes my charters get me off the big lake, get me on a little lake.
Okay.
So I was taking someone through a channel from one lake to another lake, and the center of the channel looked lime green or fluorescent chartreuse green. So as we pulled in, the young lad in the front says, "Wow, what is that?" And I just kept my mouth shut. And the dad goes, "What is it?" And I said, "It's failed septic. From all of these cottages in this little tiny, tiny channel, it's weeping in. The pH is different, so the density is different, so the water is sitting on the bottom, and it's turning the water that chartreuse greeny yellow color." How does it get there? I said, "It's a big part of my life, man. It's something I'm real passionate about, and I'm real disappointed to see it like this in this lake, a historically beautiful lake. But I said, there's more people here than there's ever been. The septic in the ground was made in the 70s for a little 800 square foot cottage, which is now a 2,700 square foot cottage. And they're just pulling water because we can pull water."
The mindset again.
You're back to where I started.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there's a way to fix that until you educate the plumbing force that you don't wait for bureaucracy to catch up. Because by the time they say something, they're all going to be dead. Every fish will be dead.
So why can't we just, the government should almost be taking photographs of these situations that are happening on the lake and drop these flyers and photographs on every single doorstep and explaining to them, this is what's going on.
You need
right
to be
in your backyard.
Responsible. That's what it is. It's irresponsible. That's how I feel when I sell a system. It's irresponsible of me to not acknowledge the problem, recognize it, analyze it, and then control it the best of my ability. And if I have to use salt, well, then I have to do it a certain way. I'll use potassium, not salt. I'm not trying to sell potassium.
No.
I'm saying I use it so I can say I'm salt-free. Scale the salt back. Explain to the customer. You might think it's not working because it's not going to take much salt, but that's what it should do. It should not be consuming buckets and buckets of salt every time it backwashes.
What made you think less to not go forward to more salt and bring it back to almost no salt? What was the thought process behind that? Because I know that when you talk to manufacturers about their pumps and everything like that, they were like going, why are you going the wrong way?
Yeah.
And they didn't understand it. But yeah, they're the designers of these components.
The problem is, I guess the problem, you wouldn't call it a problem. The thought process is, my whole career has been, how do I make this better?
That was the question asked.
How do I make my muscle car faster? How do I make my boat faster? What do I do to make things better? Well, when you apply that to our industry, the pumping industry and the water treatment industry, never stop asking that question. How do I make this better? But most people who sell, let's say, water filtration or filters and equipment don't operate with any moral compass. They operate with a profit compass.
Yeah.
So they follow that needle. And I'm saying, I think if I do my job successfully, I think I'll be profitable. So I'm not going to look at that. It's not that I'm not watching the profit. I'm watching the success of the job. Well, when I did the first job, I said, man, these people are buying 7 to 12 kilos of salt a week. So how much brine is from 10 kilos of salt? Well, it's staggering. Why is it that high? And I would ask the question, and all the engineers would say, well, that's just the way it is.
That's not an answer.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
But then all those systems are all programmed. Well, I'm not programming this. I'm buying this. Someone's programming this when I buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why can't I program whatever I want?
And you can.
You can. Well, then why can't I just start pulling back on the salt? And if the system fails, I'll go back up. But if this system doesn't fail, well, then I'll just keep going lower.
Did until it fail? I reach
the it didn't no, fail. Never once.
It actually corrected.
It the system does fine because my motivation is not to sell salt. It's to treat that media the best I can so that it regenerates and the customer is happy. So then I'll be honest and say, this system was engineered to run, let's say, 25 years. Okay, in 25 years, the actuator inside that head will be long dead. So why would I shoot to preserve the media for 25 years and not the entire system? Okay, forget that. Let's shoot for 10 years. Your system's good for 10 years. Well, you can bring the salt down to sometimes one-third. And I bet you if I tried hard, I can get it lower. I bet you I could.
And it'll increase the longevity of it?
Well, if I start raising the salt up, the bed will obviously regenerate better because it's got more sodium.
Yeah.
But there's so much advancement in filtration media that like the other side of the world who makes all this stuff, they're already doing this. That's what I mean about patenting it. They're already doing it. They already realize you can't put salt into your septic, into your lake, into your well, into your sump pit. You just can't do it.
A home built on trust, crafted with care. Your home is more than just a structure. It's where memories are made, where your family grows, and where you find comfort. That's why your renovation or building project deserves nothing less than the utmost care and quality. Because it's not just about creating a space, it's about creating a place where life happens. Tim, the heart and soul behind Ravine View Construction, understands that your home is personal, and whether you want to be involved in every detail or prefer to leave it in the hands of a trusted expert, he and his team are here to make your vision a reality. At Ravine View Construction, every project is handled with the passion it deserves, from the initial site assessment to the final touches that turn a house into a home. Tim's team doesn't just build, they protect what matters most. With a reputation built on trust, excellence, and a commitment to using only the best materials, Ravine View Construction ensures that your home isn't just beautiful, it's built to last. Tim and his team work alongside the finest tradespeople, guiding you through every step so you always feel confident and cared for. Let them help you create a space where you can enjoy peace of mind and cherish moments with those you love for years to come. Connect with Ravine View Construction today at 416-671-0170 or visit them at www.rvchomes.ca. For direct inquiries, email Tim at info@rvchomes.ca. Let them build not just a house, but a home filled with lasting memories. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
So then let's scale this back or make it disappear altogether if we can do it the right way.
In today's day and age, I mean, with the way that we're connected in the world and how we can literally think about something that we would want and we order it and it shows up the very next week if it's right. Halfway around the world, how connected we are, you don't think that, and I'm not going to say that our government's a smart government because it's not, that they would just do a Google search and find out who's ever had this problem and how was this problem solved, if it was solved, in your neck of the woods, halfway around the world, and then inquire about that and go, how did you guys do this?
Yeah.
And then apply those principles here.
Exactly.
That's what you think would be.
Exactly.
But it's not.
But that's not the way it is.
Not here in Canada.
But that's you're touching on something else that I'm real passionate about, which is politics and getting involved. So if a politician, okay, how do you put this in perspective? If you had to fly a helicopter, the helicopter pilot meets a certain criteria to be called a pilot.
Totally.
You could be a police officer.
It just ain't the aviators.
Do you want to drive a crane? You want to plumb? There's always a benchmark.
Yes.
Okay, what if you want to run a country? What standard are you held to? So then once you understand that, you go, well, there's no standard. There's no training course for that person to... Okay, then why am I shocked that they're not overly intelligent? Okay, well, they haven't been taught and they have zero life experience. Okay, well then, when your kids grow up, encourage them. Get involved in politics. Get involved at the municipal level, at the community level, at the board level. Learn how it works. Get involved and say something. And you'll learn right away when you do that those boards, those committees... One person has a voice and 13 people keep their voice shut until I get on a board or something like that. Well, now two of us have a voice. One's operating with logic and one is operating by whoever wants me to be here.
Yeah.
The salt providers, the whatever it is.
Lobbyists.
The lobbyists. Whoever's pushing me to be here is who I'm voicing for.
Yeah.
But what if your motivation was what's good for Ontario?
The people.
What helps the people out?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'd be in direct opposition to the other person outside the table. But that's what we need.
Who's currently in charge of this problem that you know of in government?
No one.
There isn't a figure. There isn't a person. There's not a minister that's in charge of
Where we're going environmentally.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's someone, but I don't know.
Well, other than the monkey Stephen Colbert, or whatever, like that Gobin, whatever his name is, where you know he's the climate minister, isn't he?
Yeah.
So what's he doing about it? Absolutely nothing, right?
If you asked him about the problem, I'm 100% confident he wouldn't know there was.
Oh, you wouldn't even know what you're talking about.
No.
You know.
No. Probably I've had multiple meetings with people. And I try to say, this is an issue. The fact that we have no legislation or guidance is the issue. And when there was only X amount of people living up north that had the money to do it, okay, but now there's 35% more people and they have lots of money and they want the water perfect. And when you sell, this system is perfect. Oh, I'll take it. But there's no disclosure. There's no fine print. There's nothing to tell the homeowner. Wait a minute. This isn't good for my septic. This isn't good for my environment, and it's horrible for the lake. It doesn't say that. So then they just buy it, and they go, oh, I got nice clean water.
What was your thought process when a couple of weeks back we had the floods here in Toronto? And you probably saw that in the news, right?
I seen the floods, and I'm watching it from a...
You're outside of it.
An angler's perspective.
Okay.
So when I was a kid, I spent my summers here in Southern Ontario, and I would fish... Bronte, 16 mile, fish the creeks for salmon and rainbow and brown trout. And the more we restrict those water level, those water courseways and the waters that feed them, we close them all off, and you close them all off. And if you were to take all the property away from Southern Ontario and look at the watershed, you would say that's a huge delta. Yeah, but you've closed off all of these watersheds. You've closed them all off to put all your houses because you got to live here. I get it. Well, then where does the water go in the one in a century storm? It's still going to go wherever it wants to go.
Yeah.
It's not going to go where
you're not going to tell it.
It's going to go wherever it wants to go. So if you look at Bronte and you look at the shore and the levels of stratification on the rock where something has ate all that clay out, well, what do you think did that? It wasn't the salmon.
No.
It was a phenomenal amount of water. Well, maybe that comes only once every 200-300 years or even every 5,000 years. But it's coming.
Yep.
And if you don't prepare for it, you don't realize that that's what's going to happen, you're going to have floods like that every decade or
so. You know about the Portlands project that they're doing on the East End where the Don River was kind of ending its run? And then it was almost the most disgusting amount of water there.
I don't know.
So they're building a whole community there now, huge towers, and they've changed the waterways of the Don River at that very point there.
Yeah.
Technically... When you look at it at an engineering level, it makes sense what they're trying to do. So they've actually reduced the flow of the water to get separated into three different channels. Mm. So then they can help clean that water before it goes right back into the lake, right? Mm. I'm like, it's a good sound principle.
Yeah.
Will it work? Because they're trying to create an environment there, a whole community where you can look at non-green looking, nasty looking water, right? Yeah. I don't know if it's going to work. It looks great in the models, in the 3D modeling and the sketches and everything like that. And I'm sure people are buying units because of this, because they're going to be all around this water. But will it be the reality when it's actually done?
Yeah.
I don't know that.
I don't know. I'd love to see that. I've never seen that.
I was invited. I couldn't make it though. I was invited to go look at the current state of what it's at right now. They've started construction, but we're still years away from it being completed.
Yeah.
But that was one of the big selling features on it about doing this filtering, natural filtering process.
That's what they're going to do. They're going to treat the water, I guess.
I don't know exactly the specifics, but yeah, kind of clean the water as it comes from the river and then in stages and then it gets into the lake.
Yeah.
So then we're not just doing this cycle.
Yeah.
Which is what you've been describing here, right? But why aren't we, like, I don't understand the politicians that are in your own backyard that don't, they're not standing on their waterways and going, this is a problem, we should be doing something
and
about
they
this.
They
will when it becomes a massive problem, right?
Correct. They will. And you get, when you talk to certain people, I'm not going to use names.
No.
I'll say, I've only been here, Parry Sound, 22 years. I remember driving when I drove here and the frogs were so loud in the springtime. So loud, you could hear it through the car. And my kids would say, I can hear the frogs, it's springtime. And they go, they always get that feeling of nostalgia. Yeah. Did you hear that this spring?
Not.
And they go, no. I said, well, advancements in cars are better, so they're better insulated. Open your windows. You can still hear it, but it's not like it was.
Not like it was, eh?
Why do you think that is? And he's like, I don't know. I said, I'm not claiming to be a biological professor. I don't know. I just know that there's frogs in Florida.
And I was just going to say, they probably hopped away all the way down to Florida.
In Florida, those guys evolved like that. We're changing the environment faster than our flora and fauna can evolve to it. Give them 1 million years, they'll be fine. But give them 20 years, they can't do it. That's why you don't hear as much, in my opinion. I'm not a biologist, but I own 7 acres of swamp. I can see this with
my
own eyes.
You can see the cause and effect.
And I could test the water. I could see there's salinity in the water that wasn't there. I can see there's something background. It doesn't take a lot of salt to hurt a frog or a salamander. It doesn't. But everything I do in my business, I have a moral compass in every job I do. So even if it's selling a de-icer pump, it's the same thing. I'm selling it with the, I want to be profitable and pay my guys and put money in the bank. And I don't want to be responsible for what could happen. Educate your customer, which is where Joe would come in. And Joe would just gobble that shit up. He gets it. So all of the plumbers that I work with, all of the tradespeople, they all get, because they're all fishermen or hunters, they grew up in Parry Sound.
They see it.
That's why I'll say to someone on town council, why does Parry Sound wait for someone in Etobicoke to say this is the best way to do it? Why aren't you doing it? The guys that I work with and the girls that I work with, they're the smartest damn people I ever met in my whole fucking life.
Oh, no, you can swear. Don't worry.
Smartest people I ever met. You guys are, you've learned to work in the winter and work in bugs, and it's such a tough job. Why are you waiting for someone in Etobicoke to say, I don't think you should do this anymore? Okay, we don't do it that way. You lead the way. What's the best way to protect this septic system and this electrical grid? You know. And they all have great ideas. Now you're back to where I started. Then get involved in politics. Get your education. Go and say your piece and stand up to that guy who's from Etobicoke that says we're gonna do it this way.
I have a theory, Les, that the thing is, I think all good tradespeople start off with well intentions, right? And they actually want to build the best they possibly build. Yep. And they want to contribute and do a good, hard-earned living, right? Yep. The problem is that when they start getting a taste of the potential of having more profit for doing less work,
yep,
and not caring equals.
Correct.
They become the villain. I just call it become the villain.
Yep.
So they turn a blind eye to this now.
Yep.
And I can only imagine that, I mean, even during COVID times, I'm sure a lot of companies started springing up about septics, and they weren't educated enough to do it properly, correct, but they figured, hang on a sec, I can turn around and submit this kind of invoice with that many zeros on it.
Yep.
And I can make this much money.
Correct.
But what do you know about septics? Absolutely nothing.
It makes me money.
Makes me money.
Yeah. So what I call that is profit intoxicated. Your decision making going forward is impaired because all you can see is the zeros. And I'm going,
I like that.
That's in a lot of different trades, not just septic.
No. It's all,
and honestly,
of them.
Septic guys that I know, and I know most of them, are down to earth, wonderful human beings that would never intentionally do something.
No.
They're septic guys that do it are conservative people. They're all conservative. They do it perfect. So where we are, we don't have anybody who does that. I've seen those guys that you're talking about. Because they have, when the population grew out into the suburbs, there's a lot of need for septics.
Yep.
I get it.
Opportunity.
But where we are, I don't deal with that kind of problem. But I deal with lots of profit intoxication. I can see it. It's in every trade. It's everywhere. And I get it. You want to make money and your back hurts, so you're going to do as fast as you can.
We should almost like DUI these things, right? You all of a sudden take your plumbing license away for a period of time if you start acting this way, right?
That's right.
That would be actually interesting, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. Take it away or educate. I'm a big.
I would say the education part, like that. Now you're going to go to class.
Yeah, let me show you.
Yeah,
this is why we don't want to
pay attention. Take notes. There is going to be a test. Yeah.
But you're kind of touching on my core. My business is to show the guys that they can be profitable. You can be profitable doing it the right way. It it's going to make you more profit because all of a sudden you're the only one doing it salt free.
Yeah.
Or you're the only one doing it with no salt or low salt.
Find plenty of communities that you can start servicing.
Well, they'll start saying, I can't carry the salt. I don't want the salt. Or here, I can do it with no salt. Are you the guy who does it with no salt? Yes. Do it. Perfect. Well, now you've taken the profit intoxication and you're saying, you can still get intoxicated and still do it the right way. Do it this way. Do you feel good about your career instead of feeling guilty from all the money you made? So I think the retailers, like all the big wholesalers, it's really up to them. We're the ones that are interacting with the tradespeople every day at 7 o'clock. Every day they're lined up there. That constant and continued communication between the two of us, if one of us has an agenda and the agenda is to control the sodium, well, I'm talking to 24 tradespeople every single day.
One by one.
Once they get it, then now you're starting the ball rolling. So that was the case you made about, well, you should patent it. And I'm like, if I patent it, well, then the ball doesn't roll. It stays with me. If I'm the guy who eventually retires and they say, that's the guy who started it. He did that.
Mm-hmm. And then everybody else is doing it.
And that's good for the environment. That's good. Is it the best way to make money? No, it's probably not the best way. Is it the right way to get the message out? Well, eventually what's going to happen, brother, is you're going to get a big supplier is going to go, wait a sec.
They'll start jumping on.
And then once that happens, then all the education will come.
But right now, those big suppliers are not even, it's not on their radar. They're just selling it just because it's another line item.
I think it's on their radar.
Are you ready to transform your kitchen or bath into something exceptional? Natalia Pierce, Certified Master Kitchen and Bath Designer, CMKBD, from Detail by Design, Ottawa's go-to kitchen and bath design specialist, is here to help you do just that. Natalia doesn't just design spaces, she creates life solutions with precision, ensuring every detail meets your vision and stays within your budget. From first-time clients to those returning for their next project, Natalia values every opportunity to create functional spaces tailored to your unique needs and designed to last through many life stages. She's also excited to collaborate with new tradespeople and builders, bringing fresh ideas and expertise to every project. Whether you're a homeowner looking to upgrade your space or a tradesperson eager to work with a design pro, Natalia expertly balances satisfying challenges with beautiful results. Ready to start your journey? Reach out to Natalia Pierce at natalia@detailbydesign.ca or call her at 613-299-6464. Let Detail by Design guide you to a space that's perfect in every way. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. Really, huh?
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure of it.
Side-eyeing it? They're just kind of keeping an eye and seeing what's going on? And
I think it's on their radar. I'm pretty confident. If we were going to talk about this in 5 years... and we'd make a prediction.
Yeah, we don't want to share who we're talking about, but I think if you're a plumber in this industry, you have a very good idea who we're talking about here in Canada, sure. Right? And it's just the truth of it. But they've gotten very big, and they should be doing more, in my opinion.
That's what I think.
Simple as that, right?
That's what I think.
Are you seeing, I'm sure that because you get a certain kind of clientele that comes to you, are the younger trades that are coming into this industry, are they still that sponge? Are they still really interested in wanting to be the hero, that good person?
Yep.
Yeah? A lot of hope there?
It's been, I wouldn't say maybe the highlight of my life, the highlight of my career, watching people come in who were apprentices.
Yeah.
And watching the trade change. The apprentices used to go through the fire. It was like going through the military. And it was their right as a plumber or electrician or a millwright to just beat the shit out of the apprentice.
Yeah, yeah.
But the new generation can't take it. They can't. They crumble and they quit and they go somewhere else.
Yeah.
But then I watch these kids and they come into my shop and the tradesperson will leave. And I'll just take just 30 seconds. Man, you're doing real good, man. You're doing good. I'm watching you go. I'm listening to what you're saying. You're doing real, real good. Picked it up, put in his truck. And they come back and they ask more questions. Hey, I'm getting my license. Good for you, brother. Good. Watching them get up and grow. Sometimes they fracture and go on their own.
Of course.
And then they came in the shop and they're like, hey, can I sit up with you? I want to buy a water pump and I want to buy this. And I'm like, good for you, man. I'm sad you left the organization that we were with, but I'm happy you're doing it on your own.
Yeah.
And it's been a real cool part of my life to watch these guys and a couple girls grow up, sit there. And when you're talking to them, we keep talking about Joe because it's a commonality between two of us.
Yeah.
Joe said to me, I took that in school. And I said, well, yeah, man, it's part of your license.
Yeah.
Well, how come I don't know that? And I said, because the person who taught it to you didn't know it. So it wasn't important.
It wasn't important enough for them to share.
But I need to know that. And I said, you do. So, for instance, I was going to add it up before I come here. I think I bought 30 amp gauges over my career. It's not for me. I buy the amp gauges for the apprentices. So when they come in, here you go, bud. What is it? I said, well, when you call me, you're on a job and you're like, I don't know what's wrong. This is going crazy. First thing I'm going to ask you is, what's the amperage? And you'd go, hey, tradesperson, he needs to take the amperage. He'll teach you how to do it safely. Do that. And once you understand what I'm saying, you're going to build the foundation for a career in the future. So that's been a really cool part. So I do think that the young people are really eager to absorb information, and those guys can retain it. Like, they haven't had a whole lifetime of drinking whiskey. So they can retain that information and then call it back when they need it.
Yep.
And that's Joe. Joe is literally a sponge absorbing information and processing it, putting it into the right files, and then instantly recalling it when he needs to. Okay, I can't do that. Too much whiskey. Joe don't drink. That's why he could do it. But then Joe trains this guy, and that guy works with this guy. Well, there, I'm making the difference.
You get more heads in the pot, and everyone starts to think about solving the problems.
That's right.
Not one person's going to solve every problem.
Hell no.
And so you need a bunch of people contributing to solving problems. That's the 100%. Construction industry.
100%.
I've always said, listen, I need less suits in construction. I need more workwear in construction. I don't need suits telling workwear what to do in construction. Right. We should be asking the workwear, what should we do in construction?
That's right.
Don't tell us what we should do.
That's right.
We should be asking us, what should we do?
100% agree.
What would you do? Because obviously you're probably hearing some people are from the city and they're probably moving up there and they've got homes up there, second homes or what have you. And they're seeing the difference between the water in the core in the city and then the water up there. But they're having problems on both ends. Have you come up with solutions for the city water?
Well, I have five or seven clients that have said, make me this for my home. And you can't just arbitrarily do that. There's science involved here.
Yeah.
The pH of the water and the chemical composition of the water is not the same. So it's not one boot fits every foot.
Yeah.
It don't. So you can't just take this thing and take it home. So I had a client in Parry Sound who said, I don't want the chlorine and related chloramines in my, let's say, baking. How do I get it out? I need a water softener. I said, no, it's not a water softener.
You don't need a water softener.
Look at this proposal. And I ask him, how's your system? Phenomenal. Could I not do that in the city? I said, 100% you could. Well, why don't people do that? I said, I have no idea. Do you dump your water into a Brita? Yeah. Do you like the taste of the water from the Brita? Yeah. Well, there's no salt in there. Well, why doesn't everybody do that? And I said, because that's not what's marketed, pal. That's not how it's, there's no recurring, like who would sell a printer that didn't need ink? Who would you, what manufacturer would do it and say?
It doesn't make money.
It doesn't make a recurring revenue. That's why. Well, can you build me one of these things to take home? Yeah, absolutely. Here, take it home. How do you like it? Oh, it's the same as it is in Parry Sound. It's fantastic. So there's a whole revenue plan there for somebody. What you won't get is you won't get the reoccurring revenue where the customer comes in over and over and over. Well, we've started that. We've made the business plan like that. So then the plumbers just follow whatever the whole.
But you're getting new customers.
I'm getting.
You may not get the same customer returning.
You're getting new customers.
But you're getting new customers.
That's right. By the time you get to the very last customer, the first customer's system's reached its 5 years and got to be replaced.
And do it all over again.
Okay, well, that's reoccurring to me. Well, that makes sense to me. You didn't put any salt in the water. You helped the girl with the psoriasis. The water tastes delicious. It works great. If you wanted to sell a UV light or a filter, you can sell that too. Well, that is a whole business plan just waiting for someone to exploit it.
Nobody ever really thinks about plumbing fixtures and stuff.
No.
Like the amount of harshness and the amount of, like it takes a toll.
It destroys everything.
It just destroys everything. And all of a sudden, I guess homeowners start thinking, well, you know what? Design-wise, trend-wise, we're ready for a remodel. Let's just destroy this and do it all over again. The shower head's falling apart anyway.
Correct.
It's got like mountains of calcium or whatever it's on that. And so let's just remodel. And now, again, they've turned a blind eye to what the real problem is. You put a whole new bathroom in there, it's just going to come back again, the exact same spot.
People are getting more educated. They're getting more educated, and they're asking much more detailed questions that I know.
They want to get to the bullseye.
You're zeroing in on what I'm thinking. So you've done your research, and it's telling you, if you feel this way, you feel that way, there'll be a YouTube, or Instagram, Snapchat, there'll be something where someone says, here's what's wrong. Well, then that social media has such a huge impact on people. So I'll get people who call me, and they'll want alkaline water, and they'll think they need alkaline water, and they, no matter what you say, they will not deviate.
Just give me that.
Somebody has educated them. Well, that education tool should be used for the benefit of your country. But then you're running the gamut of censorship. You're teaching people that they need high pH water, and they want a high pH system to make it happen. So the mechanism to educate, it's already there.
Les, are you on social media or no?
Somewhat. I'm not good at it.
No, but I mean, I'm just thinking, find out how you could actually start a social media page where you're just educating all these people.
I've had lots of people suggest that. And I said, I think that'd be great. Just for the pure education level. You get customers who come up to us, and they'll come in the shop, and they're just green on how things work up north. And they don't know. They don't know that this does this and this results, and they don't understand. They've had the money to buy the cottage or the home, and they buy it, and they don't realize there's a lot more that goes with it. You have a huge impact on your environment. So some way to get that message out, I think that's a great idea. I really do.
When are you going to start it?
Probably on the way home.
What are you calling it?
Not sure. It's about time.
Because I'm telling you, you would have millions of people following you going, listen, man, like, can you tell us more? This is my scenario. This is my situation. Yeah,
that's a cool idea.
Right? It's just because I think people need this. And that's how, I mean, unfortunately, our government is like threatening about censoring our social media because they don't like our message of truth being shared.
Yeah.
They want their version of lies to be shared.
Yeah.
This is unheard of, man.
Yeah.
Like I just saw on the news on the feed talking about how you're now going to get arrested if you start posting about the riots in the UK. Excuse me?
I never heard that.
So they don't want people sharing that there's riots going on in the UK. And I'm going, there's riots going on in the UK. Just accept it. There is, right?
Just accept it.
So we were just trying to share the truth, right? Yeah. So I could see an uphill battle here with this water education.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Then the uphill battle will be generated by the people who aren't profiting from whatever you're
saying. That's what it is.
And I think that's the reason why my business went the way it went, is because I don't have any intimidation from anybody. So when you come up as an independent...
Well, you're like 6'7" or something.
It's nothing to do with the physical size. It's something to do with in here.
Yes, you know what you're talking about.
The business has been tried to hold down for as long as I've been there, because you're not supposed to do this. You're supposed to follow this channel, which results in my profitability. Well, bucking the system or taking a different track is not what most business owners do.
No.
They follow the path well-traveled, the one that results in profitability. That's what we do. But this country and every single item on this table, every single one of them came from an innovator. Somebody had to say, I want to do it this way. Well, no, we do mics this way. We don't make them. Well, I want to do it this way. And there, now you got it.
We could be leaders.
You are a leader, man. I'm listening to you.
No, I'm just saying the country in general, right?
We should be
We should have thriving communities. We should not be having conversations that communities don't have good drinking water.
It's unreal.
Like, it's just unreal in 2024. I could have understood maybe 1924, maybe 1824. Yeah, but unreal. 2024, these should not be the problems.
It's unreal. You should never question what's in that water.
No. And you're right. Like you said, more and more people are... I get sick, and when I go to a gas station or some sort of establishment and I see bottles of plastic water just sitting in the hot sun, I have problems with that.
Yeah.
Major problems.
It's not healthy.
No. But then drink your water. Drink your water. Yeah. That's what we're telling everybody to do.
Yeah.
But we're not questioning if that water is safe.
Yeah. You're getting into another topic. You're not questioning if it's safe, and you're not questioning if it's being sold at a reasonable price.
Mm-hmm.
The bottle of water at the gas station is 3 times the price of the gasoline, and people buy it. Well, what did it take to get the gasoline to that nozzle? A huge amount of work to get that gasoline. And we complain, oh, it's up to $1.66. But I just paid $4.99 for a bottle of water.
It's true.
And you never thought.
Where?
Where'd that water come from? How much did it cost to put that bottle there? It cost nothing. Literally cost you 47 cents.
I remember the messaging, what was it, maybe 20 years ago, Dasani talking about how they filter it 14,000 times or whatever. And I'm like, it's still regular tap water that basically is marketed well. Yep. And my thought process with marketing is that if you have to market something, it basically means it's not a good product.
That's right. Yep.
You're lying now, is what you're doing.
Well, you're making believe, right?
Yes.
You're making believe. But that's the whole, that's the problem with humanity, is we all want to believe something. So all someone has to do is figure out what does that person want to believe. I want to believe that high pH water makes me feel better. Oh, that's what's wrong. I don't feel good. I need high pH water, and I'm going to start a whole ball rolling to get what I want, which is to feel better. But it all comes back to misleading marketing. Well, the bottled water industry, I'm like...
Which is really sad, because I know for a fact that Canada and also the U.S., and I'm assuming other countries as well, we have advertising standards. You're not allowed to lie.
That's right.
You're not supposed to lie.
Yep.
And someone can call you out if you are lying.
Yep.
But again, like with the water, we're just turning a blind eye to it. So nobody's
turning a blind eye. So,
but you'll get upset at Don Cherry endorsing a beer. Oh,
my goodness.
You'll get upset because he's endorsed a beer, and then a mom said, you're encouraging my child to drink beer now.
Yeah.
So now Don Cherry's not allowed. No celebrities in Canada are allowed to endorse any kind of alcoholic beverage that's associated with any kind of sports.
It's ridiculous.
I'm like, that's just the dumbest thing ever.
It's ridiculous.
If we take that rule of thought, then we basically should not be listening to politicians because of the endorsements that they're putting forward.
It's nuts. So what you just took out from the Don Cherry comment, what the people who are upset about it took out was, what about the parent?
Are you not supposed to parent your child?
You can't bring crack cocaine to my two daughters and get them to do it. You can't. They won't do it.
Yeah.
So if they see an advertisement where it says, inject yourself with meth, oh, I'm going to try that. No, they won't, because they've been parented correctly.
Yes.
And they have a brain in their heads to go, you can say whatever you want to say. I'm not going to do something stupid. Well, if the child hears Don Cherry talk about a beer and then immediately starts drinking beer, that's not Don Cherry's fault.
Parent.
That's your fault.
Yeah.
That's the parent is busy on their phone or whatever they did, and they weren't watching or raising their child. Well, now what you're saying to Don Cherry is, really, Don Cherry, you're not raising my child effectively.
But you're not supposed to be
raising... Why would Don Cherry be raising my child?
I don't want Don Cherry to be raising my child.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Experts in smart home technology. Why settle for anything less than a home technology service company that truly understands flawless Wi-Fi, unparalleled security, and immersive whole home entertainment? Andrew is the driving force behind Uplink Smart Homes. He isn't just an industry expert, he's a visionary who creates smart spaces that resonate with your lifestyle. In today's connected world, clients demand more than just speakers and routers. They want an integrated system that seamlessly blends technology with the fabric of their home. Andrew and his team are dedicated to turning your home into a hub of innovation, where every device, network, and system works in harmony to enhance your daily life. At Uplink Smart Homes, they specialize in designing and installing cutting-edge smart home systems tailored for your unique needs. From optimizing Wi-Fi coverage for flawless connectivity in every corner of your home, to implementing healthy home options like circadian rhythm lighting, their solutions are both high-tech and user-friendly. They also create whole home entertainment setups that deliver stunning audio-visual experiences, whether you're streaming your favorite shows or hosting a movie night. Andrew's approach goes beyond simply installing equipment. It's about truly understanding their clients and designing a smart home that caters to them. Contact Uplink Smart Homes today at 289-240-0600 or visit them at www.uplink.ca. For inquiries, email them at admin@uplink.ca. They guarantee that smart home technology will make your life better, but only if it's done right. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Yeah.
What extremes are we talking about here? I know we touched a little bit about it, but and I know that you've talked about the psoriasis and other people having issues, but if this just gets, I mean, lots of people have very sensitive skin issues.
Oh, 100%.
And then this water, the way it's been treated or not treated, or the way it's affecting people, whether it's consumption or also just topical on their skin.
Yeah.
Biggest organ on our body, right? The skin, it absorbs everything. It's a sponge, right? So what are the extremes health-wise that you're seeing people either solve their issues by actually fixing things or just gotten worse?
It's a great question, but I don't know if I'd be qualified to
answer. No. But I mean, based on your experience, right?
It's the same thing. The human body needs quite a bit of water every day. So what I see in my industry, like I said, I drink 100 ounces of water easy. No problem. Every day. The human body needs a lot of water, but people don't drink it. They don't drink it because it tastes horrible. So you've got a health effect of this whole population going to buy plastic bottled water because they like the taste of it. Because they won't drink the water from the tap because it doesn't taste good. But then you've got the problem of them paying $5 a liter for water, and then now you got the plastic bottle. Well, you could eliminate that altogether if you had outstanding water in your tap. So the effects to the environment and the effects to the human body is better if we could have decent drinking water. The problem is you can't have water like that out of your tap. It'll get contaminated very quickly. Mm-hmm. So they fill it full of stuff to avoid it getting contaminated, which makes us not drink it. So the end result of a point of use water system, like an RO system or a filter system or whatever, or a Brita, the end result is the person consumes more water.
Yes.
And then we market that. Well,
safe water.
That's right. And it tastes good. And because it tastes good, you'll make a mixed drink or ice or whatever you want out of it. So how to address this problem on such a huge scale as a municipality of, let's say, Toronto, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how.
There's too much corruption going on in there anyway.
Well, that's the problem.
They're busy doing a rain tax. They're busy doing all kinds of other crappy, putting their logo on crack pipes. That's what they're busy using tax dollars on. And I mean, reverse osmosis, you mentioned RO. I mean, they're beneficial?
It depends. I guess there's different schools of thought on how RO systems work and what their benefits are. You being beneficial to the human body or beneficial to the pocketbook?
It's true. Yeah, because it's expensive.
Sorry? They're ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, and to maintain.
Yeah, and what do we get out of it? We get a little tap where we get 75 gallons a day of RO water. I look at it from the eyes of evolution. Did the human body evolve drinking water that's completely free of absolutely everything? Well, no, because we would never have got that. So then, if that was the case, then people wouldn't be so drawn to lakes. Why do they want to go to a lake? They want to go to a lake. They want to swim in the lake. They want to wash their hair in the lake. Why? Why do you do that? You do that because it feels good. But then when you go home, you don't want soft water. I want water stripped of everything in it. I want perfectly clear. That's how I like my water. Well, the reason why the water attacks your pipes and attacks the gaskets and the plumbing fixture, and the reason why you have to have a separate tap just for it, is because the water is going to destroy whatever it touches. So I'm not a doctor.
No.
Or am I a chemist? But I know what that water does to a copper pipe or a plastic fitting or a Buna gasket. I know what it does. But when you drink it, how does your body take that water and use it? Well, what is it using? There's no minerals in it. So what is it using? I don't know what it's using. I really don't know. I'd love to have a doctor or somebody tell me.
But it's definitely doing something.
It's doing something.
Yeah.
100% is doing something.
Because you can't be having all these health issues as a result of it.
Yeah, I don't know what it does. It's a very interesting question. I'd love to know, but who could say this is what it does?
I guess it's also like the argument about the whole 5G and, you know, EMF and my waves and all kinds of stuff, that there's no real conclusive proof that it's actually doing something.
That it's hurting or not.
Yeah, hurting. But then you also, we go back to the lobbyist. You got a whole telecommunications industry that wants to protect their asses. And I know that when John Tory was power in Toronto there, he was all about trying to reduce the amount of towers, cell phone communication towers in the city.
Yeah.
But yet is contributing financial people that were supporting him or telecommunication industry. Is that not a conflict of interest?
Yeah.
You're telling the public that you want to reduce these towers, but you're being paid by the towers to keep on putting more towers.
Yeah.
So, okay, we need to fix the water. So stop putting all these chemicals in to clean this water to get it to us.
Find a better solution.
Find a better solution to do that. But how can you do that when you're making so much money?
Correct.
From treating the water this way.
Yeah. The problem is, in my opinion, what you're looking for is logic. Because you're a tradesperson. You work with tradespeople. Your brain is wired like logic.
To solve.
So you see and you go, well, this is logical.
Yes.
But a bureaucrat, a judge, a lawyer, a lawmaker, insurance adjuster, appraisal.
That's another one.
They don't operate on logic. They don't they don't, you'll never meet a bricklayer who says, oh, hey, come on over to Mikey's house. Mikey, the judge. The judge and I are good best friends. It seems weird to even say it, but why can't a judge be friends with a bricklayer? Most certainly they can.
Of course.
The problem is the two don't speak the same language. Oh, my buddy, the politician, and I'm a drywaller and he's a politician. It seems weird to put those two people in the same sentence, but it shouldn't be. But the fact is they don't speak the same language. So when we listen to them talking, we're looking at the sun. It's burning your eyes, and you're like, what is wrong here? What's wrong is we don't understand you. Your thought pattern is not based on logic. Like I said before, there's no competency test to be a politician.
Yeah.
But yet you hold a politician to the same regard as you'd hold me. What are you doing? You know better. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Well, that's how we're looking at them. But it's faulty. We can't. They don't look at it like we do. They see things that we don't see. They see liabilities, real or imagined, and they're reacting to these liabilities. But we're saying, well, the people need water. You're worried about contamination, but the person's skin is burned. They're allergic to their water. But it's not the water. It's what you've put into the water.
What's treated in the water.
That's why I say get involved in politics. Get on those boards. Get into your...
Raise the questions.
Get in there and say, well, we don't just say, yes, we're going to put that in the water. What is the long-term health effects of what we're doing? But nobody asked
nobody
that question.
Nobody ever asked that or asked that study. It's the same thing with the climate argument. Give me the long-term, like, we're never going to dent this. This is just insane what you're trying to do
Correct.
Here. We understand that this Correct. Is just literally about you collecting tax dollars Correct. To balance your budget.
Correct.
Simple as that.
Yes.
It's got nothing to do with.
So... One thing you remember for me is remember that expression, don't look for the logic. You'll go nuts. You'll go crazy. And that happens in lots of fields where you're talking to someone and you realize real quick, these people are not, you're not operating on logic because what you're saying is not logical. It is illogical. And you hear them and they're dead serious when they're telling you.
Oh, I know.
Well, I had some guy come in my shop and the guy started telling me that the air in his pump was because the vacuum that his pump created pulled the oxygen out of the water and made the cavity fill with oxygen. And huh? I'm sitting at the desk and my employee turned and walked away because he was laughing. I can't laugh in a guy's face. So I said, I tried to vocalize it so I didn't patronize him. So the vacuum the pump is creating is literally pulling the air out of the water. And he goes, yeah, that's what fish breathe. They breathe oxygen. And oxygen is gas. So I can pull that. And I said, you believe that? It's true.
Where did he get that thought process from?
I have no idea.
How did he come to that conclusion?
I have no idea. So I said, I don't think you operate with logic.
That was the nicest thing you could say.
Yeah, and he's like, well, that's what it is. And I said, you got a hole in your line, bud. And the pump's pulling air. Oh.
That's logic.
I said, that's logic. Wow. Well, well, you're so invested into what you've...
They're convinced that it's the truth.
It's oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I said to my guy, that guy's probably a politician.
You're ready to be a politician.
Yeah. When you start making believe to believe that it's real, and all logic tells you it's not real, well, you can be a politician.
Then you're ready.
Not that I'm bashing politicians. I'm not. If I didn't like it, I would run, and I would be a politician that based on logic. But then the bureaucracy would drive me crazy.
Right? I go back to the villain analogy. You'll become one of them, right? That's just the bottom line.
Yep.
And to be honest, Les, I mean, you're probably the only shop that you shared this with me that you've given keys out to guys in event if they ever have to get a part. And
almost daily they're in there.
Yeah, they're in there, right?
Almost daily.
To grab a part and everyone's on good faith,
which
is like totally respectful.
Yeah, for sure.
But I mean, it's good that you're watching out for them on off time service calls.
For sure.
Right?
But that's what's lost in the market today is loyalty, right? Why do we go to the big box store? There's only one reason. It's cheap.
It's convenience and cheap. It's just there, right? Yeah.
I used to own a Quick Lube.
Okay.
Okay, well, there's five on the same street. Well, we had to get a bigger sign. Bigger sign, $19.99, $19.98, $19.97, $19 because I want the people to come in there. And I'm like, yeah, but there's no loyalty here.
Yeah.
All I have to do is make one tiny mistake and that guy will go somewhere else. And I'm running my business and I'm like, how do I get these guys loyal? Things screw up. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to forget to order something. Well, what do? They just go to the next guy. Yeah, but how do I get them to stay here?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to invest in them. And they're going to know that I'm investing in them. And I work hard to invest in them. I didn't get a road sign on the side of the highway with great big me, Work Electric. I didn't get that. I took that budget and I invest that back into the people who are on my QuickBooks. And if you spend money with me and you patronize me, one, I'll put your card on the wall and I'll sell everybody. Oh, you know what? Speak to this guy. Speak to Construction Life. He does that and he's in your area. Yeah. And he's a good guy, straight up guy.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens.
And then you'll say, how many apprentices do you got? I got three. Give them all a multimeter. Send them over here on Sunday. I'm going to show you how to use the multimeter. There used to be pump schools where we go to pump school. They don't have pump schools anymore.
They don't do it?
You got to go to Genesee, New York. You got to go somewhere else to get it. You got to fly down to Syracuse. You got a pump trainer right here in Parry Sound. Send your guy here. Here's the barbecue. There's a case of water. Let me teach you something. And they're going, well, this is great. Well, then the high school says, well, can we send students here? Can we send the kids here? Because we don't have anybody who knows any of this stuff. And I'm like, sure. In fact, my employee, my full-timer, came from the school. So the kid's like, this is great. I love this stuff. And I'm like, well, if you wish to work here, finish your schooling, get yourself done, come here, and away you go. Well, the kid come there, and 6 years later, he's doing great. He'll stand toe-to-toe with Joe and other tradespeople. And I'm like, you're talking electrical fundamental with a Red Seal master, and you're telling him that's not how it works. Okay, that's good. And he's listening to you. That's even better. Great. Pick a career, go get your education, and take your next step on.
Yeah.
I'm totally okay with it. You don't have to stay here.
Yeah.
So lots of kids have come there, matured up, and moved on. Well, it's great for me. I think it's, like I said before, it's been one of the highlights of my life is watching these people take what I'm learning, apply it in their life, and then carry on.
Contribute and learn and move on. So are you seeing the brands? Are the brands being supportive of you? Products?
Like what?
The manufacturers.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah? They see the value.
They see the value. They everything went maybe just before COVID, just maybe the year before COVID, everything kind of went full Amazon. Right? They were all the
trying. And I'm sure you guys are probably worrying as well too, right?
I didn't give a shit.
You didn't care?
Nope.
You saw it that it wasn't going to stay that way.
I knew full well that was something I did not want to invest in.
Okay.
So all the manufacturers went there, which is why all the pump schools started closing. We don't need a pump school. We'll just sell you that thing off of Amazon. Hmm. Yeah, you're going to realize quickly how that isn't going to work. You're buying an engineered something or other for an engineered problem from an unengineered person. And then they put the wrong pump in the wrong spot, and of course it doesn't work, so they just send it back. Well, you keep doing that, and you're going to lose complete brand loyalty, which is what's happened.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden we're going, well, now we've lost all the momentum of all these guys who were educated on how pumps, let's say, work. Well, where did they go? Well, they've retired. Well, how? Well, now what do we do? Well, there's Lesson Work Electric. He's still doing it.
And for now.
And he's got a warehouse. And he's got a storefront. Yeah, I got what you had in 1987. Yeah. Oh, well, let's get our products in his show. Oh, yeah, they're real supportive. They're very supportive, which I think is the only reason why I can compete against the great big guys, because I have this warehouse and all this floor space that you simply don't have. So somebody needs a X pump or whatever. Yeah, I'll get it. It'll be 3 days. I said, hold on, I'll drive home and I'll get it for you. 4 minutes, I'll have it for you. One sale, two sale, three sale, four sale. Well, you're building loyalty. You tell me what you like. What do you need? I like those Construction Life cups. Okay, I'm going to buy a case of those right here. When you want them, there's a key.
There you go.
You can get them. Yeah. So it's been, for me, moving from California to Canada to Parry Sound, I'm pretty far from where I started.
Your home, your legacy, built with precision, crafted with care. Your home is more than just a place to live. It's where your story unfolds, where your dreams take shape, and where your future is built. Whether you're stepping into home ownership for the first time, expanding your space for a growing family, or enhancing your property for the years ahead, your project deserves the utmost care and dedication. At Aria Build, they understand that your home is a reflection of your journey, and they're here to ensure it's crafted with precision and passion it deserves. Meet Bazat, the visionary behind Aria Build, with an unwavering commitment to excellence. Bazat and his team bring a wealth of experience and a deep understanding of what makes a house a home. Whether you want to be hands-on every step of the way or prefer to trust the process to seasoned professionals, Aria Build is your reliable partner, dedicated to turning your vision into reality from the first blueprint to the final touch. Bazad's team isn't just about building. They're about safeguarding your investment and creating something that stands the test of time. With a solid reputation built on trust, excellence, and a commitment to working with only the best trades and materials, Aria Build delivers more than just beauty. They deliver durability and a peace of mind. Each project is a collaboration with the finest tradespeople, ensuring that every step is managed with precision, so you always feel informed, confident, and well taken care of. Choosing Aria Build means choosing a team that values what you value. Whether it's the modern aesthetic or a timeless design or a home that's built to grow with you, let them help you create a space that's not only functional, but also a sanctuary where you can build lasting memories and enjoy peace of mind for years to come. Connect with Aria Build today at 416-833-1308 or visit them at www.ariabuild.ca. For direct inquiries, email them at info@ariabuild.ca. Let them craft not just a house, but a home that reflects your life's journey. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Very, very far, but I'm right where I need to be.
When were you in California?
I was born there.
Oh, you were born there? You're American?
Yep.
Okay, and then when did you move to Canada?
I moved to Canada when I was 2 years old, and I spent my summers with my father in California. Go back to school in Canada. Back to school, back to summers in California. Ba, 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 ba. Back and forth. Until eventually you get to a point where you got to choose. You want to live here? You want to live there?
Okay.
Well, I had really bad allergies in California. It was horrible. This is horrible. I can't stand it here. And the economy then was bad. Go with your mom. So I went to Canada, went to Brantford, ended up meeting somebody eventually in Parry Sound. And I'm like, man, this place is cool and there's good fishing here. This is cool. I like it here. And I became a millwright at a jam factory. So I ran the jam factory to the best of my ability, and I met the guy, Bob O'Rourke. And I'm like, man, that's a cool gig right there. He's the only guy like him. He's still rebuilding starters and alternators, sit and talk to you for a little bit. I said, that's cool. I think I want that. And he goes, you want to buy this place? All I want is my grease gun. You can have everything, take it all.
All I want is my grease gun.
And that's all he took.
He was just attached to it?
He just wanted to leave.
Okay.
He just wanted out. So I said, I'll take it.
How old was he at the time?
71.
Okay. So yeah. He's done his dues.
He's done.
Yeah.
His cottage was paid for. His house was paid for. Everything was paid for. So I bought the business and I said, all I got to do in this town is just simply provide a level of customer service that doesn't exist, which means shake their hand, show up when you say you're going to show up, answer the phone, and return their messages. That's all I got to do. Wow. If I do that, that's going to spread around town way faster than the internet did. And which is exactly what it did. So the key thing that you mentioned, the key thing I came up with where I'm going, I trust these guys. If my daughter needed to drive to school and the plumber was there. Hey, can you drive my daughter to school? I wouldn't even think twice. And the same thing for them. They know full well. There's been instances where their kids are stuck somewhere and they're not home. They're in the States. Can you go to my house? My daughter's car is stuck in the driveway. Yeah, man, I got you. She's out. She's good. Like, she didn't have any money for lunch. I gave her $50. Oh, thanks, man. Well, you're not just building loyalty. You're building friendships at this point.
Building communities.
You're building a community of people to protect each other.
Yeah.
Which is what they all pick up on. I'm real big on them being profitable, knowledgeable, and have the tools necessary to get their job done. So that's where I took my rap song, which is nothing. It's just an idea, and turned it into something. And I got myself paid in full. See how I weave that all together? Come on, that was pretty cool.
How do you sprinkle that onto Toronto, though? Is Toronto a lost cause?
I don't know. I don't know what the community's like down here.
It's so segregated, man. Everybody's just,
shame.
They're just not, everybody's in their own little bubble. Nobody really wants to interact. It all started from COVID, and now everyone is just, they're on pins and needles, right? So like they're just cautious of whether or not you want to verbally or physically assault them. They just want to stay, you know.
They're edgy.
Yeah, they're edgy.
But I can see that changing to a point. I went through, my daughter took me through Chick-fil-A. So when I went through, I said, hey, thank you very much. And she goes, my pleasure. And I said, what did you say? She said, I said, my pleasure. Someone tell you to say that? And she goes, yeah, they do. And I'm going, look at the popularity of Chick-fil-A. what on earth are so many people lined up? Tons of them lined up that they got apps to tell it when it's open. What is going? It's not just the food.
I've never been, so I don't know.
It's not just the food. Okay. It's the way they talk to you is different. And I'm like, I picked up on that. My pleasure. Like, that's something they say down in the South, but I didn't realize it was Chick-fil-A the way I heard it.
It's an American thing.
It's definitely an American thing.
Yeah.
So being an American from the South, I picked up on that. Well, why do Canadians like it so much? That's because it's different. That's because it's polite.
It used to be Canada.
Yeah. We used to be known as the nation that said sorry. But we don't. Now we say, go fuck yourself. At every I say it. Every opportunity, I'll say it. I'm getting crusty. Well, the whole country is getting crusty. But I know when they walk into my shop or you go to Chick-fil-A, you appreciate good customer service. So all the fighting you're talking about between the different cliques of people, somebody just has to spearhead it. Enough. Watch. We can make money and not be dicks.
Yep.
And once someone does it, well, now you've thrown the bar down that you're not going to make money unless you do it. So you're raising the bar by being decent customer service. But we just don't have it because the market demands the cheapest we can get the thing for.
Part of the problem too, Les, is that I think a lot of these kids are being educated by the wrong teachers.
100%.
And I'm not talking just about the educational system starting from junior high school and then post. I'm talking about the trades in general. 100%. You're getting a lot of tradespeople that are in an educational position that are being abusive about it and not teaching properly because they don't want to put an effort forward.
100%. But a lot of times the teachers don't know.
That's the other thing too. But if you don't know, then go find out.
Then go find someone.
Yeah.
But the person who will find out what they didn't know is an apprentice. Because he's the one going in the sump pit. He's the one going in the well. I'm not
hands-on experience.
I'm too fat to go in there. So now you're the young guy. You're going in there.
Yeah.
And what I didn't do was I never told that kid how to address or identify hazardous voltage. I never told him. Well, yeah, the breaker's off. Go on. No, the breaker wasn't off. You turned the wrong breaker off, and the kid should have known how to check it on his own before he took his life in his own hands.
Yeah.
So I used to train forklift operators too. I have my train to trainer where I train you to get your license. Who's the one going to get hurt? The old fat ball guy? Rarely. It's the kid.
It's the trainee.
You know why? Because he still has it in him to do a good job.
Yep.
He wants to try. So he'll run and grab it, and that's what puts him in danger. Because he doesn't know. Well, you take that same ideology and take it into the trades. Yeah, you're the one. I don't want to touch that shit pump. It's gross. You reach in there and get it out. And I'll be on the job site and go, whoa, let's check it before. Nope, the contactor is actually broken. So you've turned it off, but it's still alive. You cannot touch that. Oh, shit. Take your stupid amp meter that I gave you. Hook. Yes. 16 amps at 575.
That would hurt. That
would end you.
Yeah.
Well, the whole group of them is like, whoa. Well, what I'm doing is one, saving the life of the apprentice, and two, building loyalty for my company.
And he's going to do the same, or she's going to do the same for somebody else in the future.
That's what I was trying to say to my wife on the last night at dinner table. The wholesalers of this country that work with these people do not realize how influential you are, how pivotal you are, one, to the profitability of the job and the education. The wholesaler used to be an old guy who was an ex-tradesperson who would tell them, but you've lost it.
They've all retired and moved on.
They've all retired, and no other tradesperson wants to go there because they don't pay. So then what do you do now? Now you just sell pumps and septic tanks and septic system with zero attachment, and you've lost it. And who's going to pay the price? It's going to be the apprentice. They're the one going to get in there and get shocked or get hurt or get cut or whatever.
Because they don't want to question, and you should always question.
They're too young to.
If you feel nervous about something, you should be questioning it. You should never just run.
Correct.
Because that's where something's going to happen.
100%.
Do you guys still have sharpening vans up there? You still got the old timer driving around with the sharpening van?
No.
No? They're going to be gone. It's like the payphone.
Yeah.
There's lots of things. I wish
we did. That'd be cool.
I don't remember ringing that. I don't hear that bell. In this. Yeah. I never heard it this summer.
I remember that when I was a kid.
Yeah, right? So they're always old timers. They're always old timers.
And they'd sharpen up your lawnmower blades or your scissors.
And then we always went to them and go, hang on a sec, don't go, don't go. I need you to take care of this, right? But I mean, they're going to be gone. Phone booths are gone. Yeah. Catering, you know, food trucks at job sites, they're going to be gone. Yeah. Everybody's just Ubering. Like the landscape's changing.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just changing, but we've got an opportunity to actually improve. And I go back to the beginning of the show where we could be such a thriving country.
Yeah.
There's so much opportunity for work.
We should be. You have all the tools necessary in this country to be a leader.
Yeah.
But that's like telling somebody all the muscles you use in treading water is the exact same muscles you use in swimming. It's the exact same. The only thing different is the technique.
Yeah.
Okay, well, all the tools are here for this country to blow up and be a manufacturing powerhouse. It's here. You have it all, and you're using them. You're just not using them in the right capacity. But what do people dislike the most? Change. They can't deal with change. Any kind of change, they can't deal with it.
We're fine for now. We're fine for with $1.66 liter gas right now. It's actually cheaper than other products in the world. And like you said, it's still cheaper than a bottle of water.
That's right.
Right? So it's like, as long as it doesn't really show up on your doorstep, we're fine for
now. I don't want to change. I'm just going to tread water. I'm not sinking. Yeah, but you're not going nowhere. Swim. Same thing. Just done differently.
As tradespeople, we get such flack for going into the house and wanting to be the good person and educate the homeowner. And the problem is that the homeowner's first thought is that he's trying to sell me.
Yep.
Or she's trying to deceive me.
Yep.
No, we're actually trying to educate you and share you really good insight from our experience. Because we've been down this road several times. We've spoken to so many people like yourself and other suppliers, and we've educated. We've gone to trade shows. We've gone to product knowledge events, and we've learned how to be better.
Yep.
Like, our politicians don't do that.
They don't do that.
They don't. They probably do some sort of assessment on the back of taxpayers' dollars to just figure out, where can we profit if we did this?
Yep. But they take these tradespeople and they give them no tools on what to do. Let's say you do somebody's pump in their basement. Who knows? You've done something. And the homeowner finds some reason to not pay you.
That happens
every day.
All the time.
And the guy could be young or inexperienced in business or not overly confident. He'll walk away. Well, there is no app he can go to and get authorities involved and say, here's what I did. Here's pictures of it. No, you want to do it, you got to go to court.
Yeah.
Well, I can't afford to go to court. I got to do these work.
I walk away.
They walk away.
I know.
Well, then there should be something there to make it easier for a tradesperson to be a tradesperson. Talk to a non-tradesperson. Why don't you want your son or daughter to be a tradesperson? Well, then they got to go hunting for their money.
Yep.
They got to go, they can't do it. I want them to go work at the factory where they get their same paycheck. And it's the same. Because they know how difficult it is to be self-employed.
If I was a politician and had some sort of power, I would, if you ever wanted to complain about somebody, an individual, whether it's on a review site of Google or anything like that, you have to also include your address, your full name, correct, your SIM card, all the information associated with you. And watch how there will not be any more reviews of negativity towards anybody anymore. Because the moment that you could hide behind that veil, you can just say lie after lie after lie. And they keep forgetting that you're basically damaging this tradesperson, especially if they're young enough. They're going to go, you know what? I'm tapped out.
Yep.
I'm done now. I do not want to fight this battle.
Yep.
Because like being a motorcyclist, once you start riding and you're coming across other people, for whatever stupid reason, they always start talking about deaths and accidents.
Yeah.
Why don't we talk about the benefits of riding and what's associated with that and how you actually become a better driver as a result of rider.
Yep.
So I don't need to hear the negatives associated with it. But in construction, if you lose some money, you start speaking to somebody about it, they start telling you a world of stories of other people that have lost money.
We all have it.
Then they're deterred and they don't want to stay in this industry. That's and now we've lost a good tradesperson who has a lot of skill set that could actually change the industry.
Yeah, man, or a potential tradesperson. You've lost them because their parents have got beat up by it and they go... Don't go into it. We people come to the shop and they talk about, oh, if I see one more brown truck driver, I'm going to lose it. And I said, well, you got three kids, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they all got their license?
Yeah.
No? Well, I don't understand. So when I was a kid, I got my driver's license and I went to the next thing and got my A. Signed up, got my air brake endorsement, got my Z. So within 2 weeks, I had my AZ. And there wasn't a kid that I went to school with that didn't do that. Well, why don't kids do that now? And you said, because they don't make enough money and it's hot as hell in that truck.
Yeah.
Well, then how dare you walk into my shop and complain about my truck driver. And complain
about the ones that are.
But your three boys are playing Fortnite. And the other one's in the tent city.
We go back to parenting.
Well, what are you doing? You're killing your country. The gentleman driving the truck is doing the best he can.
He's earning a living.
But you've opened the opportunity for him to work there.
Yes.
Well, then don't say
anything. Then go get it. There's an opportunity there.
I've always been a proponent of trying to use my business for education, to try to change that little bit of bullshit in the society. Once they got your respect and you're friendly, it hurts a little bit when you say, well, don't you talk like that in my shop. I'm not afraid of you buying elsewhere. I'm not. And you shouldn't be afraid of me telling the truth. And I've used that position in the community to end that, to stop that. Well, they talk about immigrants. And I go, whoa, 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 you're talking to an immigrant right here. I'm an immigrant. So don't you talk about what color someone's skin is because of what? Because of nothing. You've never met anybody. So I've taken that like a side gig of educating the people that come in. When that shit comes across my door, it's addressed every time because someone has to do it. Not punch them outside, take them outside and beat their face. And it's not that. Just take them aside. Take 2 seconds of your life and go, listen to me. This is why you can't do this.
Yep.
Your son isn't driving transport truck, nor have you known anybody who told their kid to get their license.
Yep.
Okay, well, there's a huge void in the market. Now you're educated.
And they're taking it. Simple as that.
Well, then, and it never comes in the shop again because you've taken the chance or the time to educate them. Well, we do that with water and sewage and UV lights. Well, it's the same thing.
It should be a nation of education, man.
Well, that's just what we need. We don't have educators anymore. We don't.
I know. We lost all that. And they need it.
You need it as much now as you did then.
Les, I got to do the 12 questions. Absolute pleasure talking to you, man, honestly. Sure. Les Purcell is here, O'Rourke Electric, Ontario, Pump Supply, 705-746-5232, info@O'RourkeElectric.com and www.O'RourkeElectric.com. Ready for this?
Yeah.
What's your favorite construction word or phrase?
Favorite construction word or phrase?
Yeah.
And I can use cuss words?
Of course you can.
It's fucked.
What is your least favorite tool?
Tack hammer.
It always hits your finger.
It's magnetically drawn to your fingertips. No matter, even if it had no fingers, it would still hit.
I don't care how skilled you are.
Tack hammer.
It always hits your finger.
Most useless thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's true. What do you miss from your childhood?
Cartoons.
Looney Tunes. Everybody presents Looney Tunes nowadays because of how racially incorrect it was. And I'm like, shut up. It's funny.
It's cartoons.
Leave it alone. It is funny.
Yeah.
What construction sound do you love?
Jeez, man. What construction sound do I love? It's got to be a one-inch Forstner bit going through a septic tank. The sound of the bit going through the plastic.
Yeah, just that.
I don't know why I like that.
It's almost like multiple chisels.
Yeah, it has an interesting sound.
Yeah, I like that one.
Okay.
Favorite beverage?
Water.
What turns you on and off in construction?
Misogynistic people. I can't stand misogynistic versus racism. I can't stand repressing the apprentice when he's the guy going to hold my hammer. And you're doing it because she's female or he's an immigrant or he's young.
Yeah.
Being young is now considered a minority, and it bugs me.
On?
Say again?
What turns you on?
What turns me on, I would say, knowledge and education, the continued learning.
There's always something to pick up.
Every day.
I'm not talking about hammers. There's always something to pick up.
For sure.
Favorite curse word?
Fuck.
What's your favorite vehicle? Any mode of transportation?
Hellcat.
Oh, a Hellcat.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be a boat of some sort.
Well, I have a boat.
Okay.
I don't have a Hellcat. Won't be long, though.
Black one? Are you going to go funky probably orange silver. Or something?
Like no, silver? Silver.
Yeah. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day? Please say politician. Change things.
No, I wouldn't say politician.
No.
Something that I would do if I could do would be a water plant operator. Sewage plant operator, water treatment operator at a municipal level. I would love to do that. It's cool.
What profession would you not like to do?
Fly an airplane.
Not in the air, huh? You don't want to, okay. Last question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
Sorry about your misfortune in your life, son. You didn't have a fair shake, buddy. That's what I'd like to hear him say.
Les, man, thanks so much. I really appreciate it. I'm so glad that Joe connected us, and always come back if you have a time or whatever. We'll figure out some things, but I love picking your brain, man.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing and taking care of and educating as many people that you have been educating.
It's really cool. Very much appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Thank you, man.
Thanks a lot.
We're out of here.